Merciful, merciful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I want to turn this morning to the 103rd Psalm. Always been one of my favorite Psalms. Psalm 103. I think I'm going to read from the first verse. I really want to get down a little ways into this psalm, but let's just start from the first verse of Psalm 103. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high above the as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." I'm going to stop there this morning. I really want to deal with this thought this morning about mercy. And this chapter, especially this first part of this chapter that we've come through, speaks to us about God's mercy and really gives us a part of the definition for mercy. And before I go too far, I want to do that. I want to define, you know, we talk about grace and mercy, and they're two compatible things, but they have different meanings. And so verse 10, by the way, is really the definition of mercy. It says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." And a much simpler way to put that is, he didn't give us what we deserve. And you can think of grace as kind of the opposite of that, which is he gives us that which we do not deserve. And so I want to think about God's mercy, especially this morning. And especially I want to think about mercy as belonging only to God. And we'll try to think about that as we go through. Go with me to Exodus for just a minute, the 34th chapter. Exodus chapter 34, in this chapter, Moses, he wants to know more about God, which is a good thing. And he's here getting the commandments, of course, as you know, the law. I think I'll start in verse 4. It says, "He hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation.'" Now, when you read this account, God, it says he declared the name of the Lord. He's declaring who he is. And some years ago, I guess now, we had a study in the names of God. And one of the things that we learned from that is that these things are not just names. You know, sometimes, you know, people just have a name because everybody needs a name and may or may not mean anything. But these are not just names, but these are characteristics of God. Characteristics that cannot be separated from whom God is. And so as he passes before Moses and he begins to proclaim, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant. abundant in goodness and truth. And it says keeping mercy for thousands. But as you read the seventh verse, you begin to wonder if there's something wrong here. Because then it says visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. And so I want to talk about mercy as belonging to God. And I want to talk about the thought about mercy here. Well, before I do that, let's go back to Psalm 62 this time. Let's get a couple of thoughts in here as we go along. Don't want to get ahead of myself too much, I guess. Psalm 62. Verse 12. He says, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. So twice now we've seen this thought about God rendering their works to them, if you will. And it's coupled with mercy. And so this is a thought that I want to consider this morning. Mercy belongs to God because only God can show true mercy. We'll get to this a little bit later, but mercy and truth are mentioned together in the scripture quite a bit. And there's a reason for that. See, mercy is that God didn't give us what we deserve. Our sin deserved punishment. The wages of sin are death. Paul tells us in Romans. That's what we deserved. That's what our sin merited. But God didn't give us that. Instead, he offered us life. And so how can these two things be? How is it possible for God to be merciful and still be righteous and truthful? Well, we had a good start at this in our Sunday school this morning. It wasn't really intentional because this topic came to me when I wasn't thinking about my Sunday school lesson. But from the beginning of Sunday school, where Tom, and I left that up on purpose, started us with that verse through Sunday school where we saw that God sent his son. The only way that God could be merciful to us is for him to pay the price that was owed. When we maybe exhibit mercy to someone else, we can only do it through our Lord Jesus Christ because we can't pay the price that's owed. If somebody has wronged us and we show them mercy, we can't change that deed that was done. We can't repay for that. So our mercy is a result of what God does in our lives. And it's through Jesus Christ that we can show mercy. We're going to think about that hopefully as well. I have a lot of thoughts this morning, and I don't know how this is going to go, but thinking about God's mercy. Well, let's go to Lamentations. Let's really think about what it really means. Go to Lamentations with me, because this really brings out the thought about God's mercy. Lamentations is right after Jeremiah. The third chapter of Lamentations. And verse 22. The third chapter of Lamentations and verse 22. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you get up in the morning and thank God for his mercies? Well, you should. They're new every morning. And it's because of God's mercies that we're not consumed. This takes me back to thinking about Israel as they came out of Egypt and they had gone away and they were continually murmuring. And at one point, God just says to Moses, he says, look, I'm just going to wipe them out and I'm going to start over with you. And I know that's not the King James Version. I just paraphrased that, but that's what he said. I'm going to just wipe them out and I'm going to start over. And God had every right to do that. But Moses, he talks to God and he says, oh, don't do that for your name's sake. He has nothing really to offer. Moses had nothing to offer. for these people, but he throws himself on the mercy of God. And you know, every day, you know, sometimes in this society we live in, there's an awful lot of thinking today about our rights, the things that I deserve, the things that are owed to me. An awful lot of that going around today in our society. We've come to a place where we believe that we deserve certain things. Every morning that we get up, we should thank God for his mercies, because what we deserve is to be consumed, wiped off. And you say, well, I'm not a bad person. I'm a pretty good person. I do good things. When we really recognize how terrible that old creation is, we realize what we deserve. And it is because of the Lord's mercies. But his mercy wasn't just to overlook that old creation, to overlook that sin, but rather to do something about it. Because he is righteous and holy and just. Let's go to the Psalms again. I'm going to go to the 25th Psalm this time. I want to think about these thoughts. There's several of them here about mercy and truth, because they have to go together. See, these characteristics of God that we talk about, mercy, righteousness, truth, things that are part of God's character that cannot be separated from him, they also can't exclude one another. So he can't be merciful and be unrighteous in doing that. And if he just overlooked our sin, he certainly would be. Mercy and truth, they must stay together. Psalm 25 and verse 10. It says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Mercy and truth together. Psalm 85. And also verse 10. Psalm 85 and verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. These two things came together. How do these two things come together? Well, for us, they come together in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God's mercy and his truth come together. Jesus, as we had this morning in our Sunday school, was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh. That doesn't mean he was sinful, but he took on this flesh, this body of flesh, so that God could show mercy to us by paying the penalty that we deserved. That's true mercy. That's true mercy. God's mercy, it's new every morning, and it's something that we should seek, we should desire. I want to read something. This is just something I found interesting along these lines, and so I wrote it down here. Let's go to 2 Samuel for just a minute, in the 24th chapter. It was kind of a reminder to me David had done something here, 2 Samuel chapter 24. He had done something that was against God, and I'm not going to read the whole story. But in verse 12, this is God's response to David concerning this sin. He says, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. There was a requirement here. There was something owed because of David's sin. And what does David do? And by the way, it would fail me time to write all these down, but David, he throws himself here on the mercy of God. Whatever God's going to do, he said, I trust that. I don't want to be in man's hand. I trust the mercies of God. And over in the Psalms, David throws himself on the mercy of God. Psalm 115. Verse 1. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You see the two things come together here again? But notice this. God's mercy should bring from us glory and praise unto him. We just sang a song about giving him glory. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Well, he's done great things, but the greatest of them is sending his son to show us his mercy and his grace. And so his mercy, as we consider and think about that, I think sometimes it's hard for us a little bit because of the fact that we live in a time and in a culture and where we think that we deserve certain things. Sometimes it's difficult for us to think about God's mercy and remember what it is that we deserved. And you say, well, I don't really want to think about that. Well, I don't want you to think about it a lot, but from time to time, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of God's mercy and how great it is. He didn't just overlook something we did. He didn't just say, well, that's okay. No, he gave his son to pay the penalty that we owed. That's a greater mercy than we can imagine or think about. Since we're talking about this part of it, let's go to Luke, the first chapter, to see the manifestation of God's mercy. Luke, the first chapter, way down in verse 78. Luke chapter 1, verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, I'm sorry, I need to start before this, don't I? I don't want to start that whole chapter. Verse 76, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. This is about John. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. John was going to go before and prepare the way for the one that was going to come, the dayspring from on high, who came to us through the tender mercy of our God. We had this morning, I'm not going to try to read it, but we had this morning in 1 Timothy 3:16, the great mystery of godliness, God revealed in the flesh. And so as we thought about that, Jesus came and took on this flesh so that he could give his life. There was no other way. The only way for him to be able to suffer on that cross and give his life was for him to be in a body of weakness like ours. He was the eternal God, the eternal Son of God. And he came And in the weakness of the flesh, and by that I mean the weakness of this human body, he suffered and he gave himself to show us God's mercy and God's grace. It's really hard to separate these two things because God doesn't do one without the other. As I've said many times, God never does anything halfway or really never even does anything 100%. He's always well above and beyond that. So he doesn't just show us mercy and say, okay, you can go. No, he provided something much more than that. The life of Christ for us, so that we could have that righteousness. It tells us that he that knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Didn't just say you can go away, now you can leave, you're free. He said, you can go, and here's something that I have for you. Mercy and grace, they often you find them together as well. Mercy and truth, mercy and grace. See, you can't separate these things because they're part of God's characteristics, part of who God is. You can't separate those things. They always come together. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 7. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So he didn't just free us, but rather he brought us into his family, made us accepted in the beloved. In whom, that is in his beloved, that is Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And now if you go to the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. I don't know if you've noticed some of these things. The great riches of God's mercy, his tender mercies, and so on. Different ways in which it's described for us. This thought here about rich in mercy is a thought about the abundance of God's mercy. We understand when we say someone is rich that they have a lot. So we understand that thought. And so here he applies it to God's mercy. Rich in mercy. That's why in Lamentations we found his mercies are new every morning. They don't run out. They're not exhausted. The supply is limitless. It says, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see the grace displayed here? Again, not just turning us loose, if you will, from our sins, but making us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A place for us. God's mercy is great and his grace is abundant. And we, as the psalmist, need to throw ourselves and seek God's mercy. I'm going to go to Psalm 51. Like I said, there were many places in the Psalms, and David, probably as much as anyone, understood the mercies of God, and he understood that he really had no other claim. The life of David is interesting, and one of the great things about the life of David is we see his great failures, and yet God still said about David, he's a man after mine own heart. And this is the reason for that. This Psalm 51 was written after David's sin with Bathsheba, after Nathan came to him and told him the story about the little lamb, and then he said, you are that man. And David, he knew, and he never tried to justify himself. He never tried to beg out of that. He is very clearly, I have sinned. I have sinned. And he knew that all he had was God's mercy. I'm not going to go back and read that story, but if you read the story, God told him that the child that he had with Bathsheba would die. And David spent days in fasting and mourning and praying that perhaps God would have mercy upon that child. And the child died, and then David got up and went about his way, and everybody said, hey, whoa, you mourn all this time, and now the child's dead, and you're not mourning anymore? And he says, while he was yet alive, there was a chance that God would show mercy. David knew he didn't deserve that, but he sought after it. And he sought it for himself, and he knew, and in this Psalm 51, he writes this after that event. And he says in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. What you don't find in this psalm is David saying, hey, you know, I've done pretty good up to now. And, you know, I think my side of the balance is a little better. That's the way man thinks about things. You know, how am I doing on the good side of the balance versus the bad side of the balance? You don't find that in this psalm. You find David throwing himself on the mercy of God. Verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David is clear about understanding that he deserved nothing but seeking God's mercy on his life. I don't know if sometimes if we get a little complacent, thinking, well, I've got salvation, I'm good now. But we need to recognize that every day we need God's mercy in our lives. Because daily we need to come to him and acknowledge that we have nothing to bring except the life of Christ. We have nothing to bring except that sacrifice that was made on our behalf. That's all we have. And thank God for his mercy. Psalm 25. And verse 6. Psalm 25, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. According to thy mercy. Again, throwing himself on the mercy of God. The psalmist truly knew and understood. Let's go to Psalm 119. And way down in verse 124. And he says this, deal with thy servant according to what I deserve. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that in any translation. It says, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. If we ever get the idea of coming to God and trying to claim something that's owed to us, there's a lot of strange teachings out there. One of which is, you know, the, what is it, name it, claim it. I don't know what all they are, but hey, go to God and tell him, you know, he has to give you this. He has to do this. He has to. Anything that we have from God. And by the way, we are extremely blessed. It is God's mercy, not our deserving. We don't get to demand anything from him. We do get to thank him. And we should do that often, to thank him for what he has done. Daniel, the 9th chapter. Daniel, you know, he was a godly man, and he prayed for his people. I find it interesting that Daniel, he was in a pretty bad situation in a way, being taken captive. But we don't see him complaining about that. And instead, he prays, and he prays this to the Lord. Daniel 9, verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. He's praying for the sins of Israel, and I'm not going to go on with that, but this is his plea to the Lord. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. In other words, though we don't deserve any of it, he calls upon God's mercy. We today can and should call upon God's mercy. He is just waiting to show us his mercy. I'm going to go back in Psalm 103 and read this again. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. You see how we had earlier in Ephesians there, rich in mercy. Here's plenteous. Plenteous in mercy. In other words, it doesn't run out. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. This is the mercy of God. For as high as the heaven, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. We had this in our Sunday school this morning. God has made it available to all. It says in Hebrews that he tasted death for all men. God's mercy is available to all, but it will be known and experienced by those that fear him, that is, those that come to him for his salvation. Those that do not think they need God's mercy, they're not going to experience it because they are rejecting his offer. But for those of us that have accepted God's offer for salvation, we experienced his mercy, and we continue to experience his mercy every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. The mercy of God shown to us. I'm not going to turn and read this one, but I think I'll quit with this. In Psalm 31:7, it says, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. Do we have something to rejoice for today? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We have much to rejoice in. Wonderful, merciful Savior. God has shown and is showing us his mercy today. Let's have a song.